Praise ye the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adeomi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. I want you to listen very closely to the message I have for you today in the radio land. I want to talk about the hope of we believers so that it will gear you up to prepare for the Lord's coming, and also for that you should begin to look up if you are not already looking up, or keep looking up, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. We call it the rapture of the saints. It's taking up of the faithful believers before the end will come. It's called the rapture. We find the reference of this by the letters of Apostle Paul, where he described this episode that will take place before the Lord Jesus Christ come, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is a teaching. So if you have your Bible, please take it and read it along so that you may prepare yourself for the Lord's coming. As you see it plainly written in the scriptures, how the Lord will come to take his own up to heaven in a physical translation, we call it, before the world will be destroyed. You remember when God destroyed the world in the days of Noah, he made a preparation for Noah to escape it. The righteous will be protected. Now, in the end time, the Bible said this world also is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly. But before God can do that, he has to prepare how his own people that are serving him, the true believers, how they are going to escape. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Apostle Paul listed what will happen to us. In chapter 4, beginning from verse 13, after Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, and he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," that is concerning those brethren that have died, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We have preached already about resurrection, that those who died will be resurrected at the last day. But this that he is talking about now is on top of that. That is not the resurrection of the just and the unjust in the last day of judgment. But this is an earlier thing that will happen to the believers, even the dead in Christ that will rise first. And let's read on in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." I pause again. Now he was saying God is going to bring them with him, which means they are with God right now. But that is wherever the dead in Christ are, which we call paradise, is a location in the spirit world where God sees them. And the Lord Jesus Christ can go there. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in paradise. He's in a different location, because he went up with his body into the sky, which means the location where Christ is, which is the heaven where God's throne is higher than the location where these dead saints, the spirits of the dead saints or the souls of the dead saints are located. And you will see, I will point to that again in the book of Revelation for you to know that there is a different locality. However, Christ can appear among them anytime he wants to. And that is why Apostle Paul is saying when Christ is coming back, he's going to bring them with him. That is going to first bring them, their souls back into their body. And this is what he was saying. Verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, let me stop there again and explain this. Now, when Apostle Paul wrote this, he believed that he was still going to be alive by the time this thing would take place. Because many of the believers in the first church age, they were expecting the Lord to come, because he said, "I'm coming soon." So they were thinking he was going to come in their time, in their lifetime. So Apostle Paul was writing this thinking this will happen in his lifetime. That was why he said, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are already asleep. Now let's read on in verse 16. Say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, if you have listened to the sermon where we talk about the resurrection, we pointed out the fact that the patriarchs, they purposely asked that their body be buried where they wanted it to be buried, where their fathers are buried. Because when they know that, they believe that there was going to be resurrection of their body, and they don't want to resurrect and be among those whom they never knew. So they wanted to be among their own relatives so that they would be able to recognize one another when they suddenly wake up from the dust on the last day of resurrection. Now, the same similar to King Apostle Paul was saying, the dead in Christ shall rise first. However, in this case, they are not just going to be looking around looking for whom they know. Because in verse 17, he said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now remember this, is the Lord is already up in the sky and is coming from the heavens and is going to stand in the air and call the dead, those dead saints that are sleeping in the dust that the physical have. They will suddenly wake up from the dust. You say, what about their bones that are rotting? Well, the bones will come back. When we talk about resurrection, we preached that God has the power to raise those bones back to life. That was why the graves will be open. There will be like a form of an earthquake for all those that are buried deep under the ground, and the graves will be open. Those bones will just pop out of the brain of the graves, and then they will join together and the flesh will come upon them with the twinkling of an eye. And they will rise up and the spirits will come upon them. Their spirits will be called back by God into their bodies. And they will rise up. But before you know it, they are caught up into the sky the same day. And those Christians, born-again believers, those who are alive, that were not there, that were alive in that generation when this will happen, we also will change suddenly and be caught up to go and meet the Lord. How will this happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit is already preparing. That is why the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. If you that is listening to me, you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to pray. And you need to ask God for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has to be resident in you, number one, for all these things to take place. Because it is the Spirit of God that will quicken that mortal body. Even those that are dead, that are going to be resurrected, the power of the Holy Ghost that was already in them before they died, that we rejuvenate the bones, and we bring the bones together by supernatural power and bring the flesh back into them, and then their spirit come into them, and then they will go up. The same way the Holy Spirit in we believers that are alive until that time will quicken the mortal body and change it to the point that you can disappear and go up without any gravity pulling us down. That is what we are talking about. If you jump up, naturally, the gravity on earth will pull you down. But when the Holy Ghost quickens the mortal body, the body will be like light, and the gravity will not be able to pull it down. And that is what the Holy Spirit is giving to us to walk, that walk in our physical body also. Through the Spirit of God, through our own spirit, we will be quickened. Now, this is what Apostle Paul wrote. That was the first appearance of this experience and episode that was written for us. Now, this is what the believers call rapture, and this is called translation of the body, where our body will be taken up physically to go and meet the Lord in the air. And let me read it again so that you will understand what I'm saying. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 said again, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, remember this. We that are alive, that remain unto that time, and we are caught up, physically taken out of this planet, to go and meet the Lord in the air, there will be no more physical death for us. It was immortality granted to the saints that are alive. Then those who are resurrected, they were given a new body that is immortal, that will never die anymore. But we that are alive, that are quickened and translated, we are given a body by supernatural change that will be immortal also, that will never die anymore. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, quick, it's a comfort ye one another with these things. This is a good comfort for the saints, because when they think that their dead loved ones have died and gone away and people are sorrowful. But if you know that their spirit and soul go to a place of rest, but they are going to come back one day, then you have to rejoice that they're going to come back, and that body that you put in the grave is going to come out again and live in a body that is never going to die again. And they're going to live it if they are believers. Of course, that will also happen after another time, in the end of time, there will be that for all the dead. Even wicked people also will be resurrected, but they are going to stand again before God for judgment, to be thrown into the lake of fire. But that will be later. But this resurrection of the believers is the one that is called resurrection, the first resurrection. Let me point to it also in the book of Revelation. Because from the mouth of two witnesses, God always tried to confirm his word in two places, so that it will be confirmed that this thing will really take place, at least at the mouth of two witnesses. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, also described the episode of the first resurrection, he called it. In chapter 20, verse 4, this is to point to the fact that what I just described, that we call rapture, where he said the dead in Christ will rise first, which is a resurrection. Apostle John, in the book of Revelation chapter 20, also described the same thing. In verse 4 and verse 5, here I read, he said, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." Now that is what I just described to you, that Apostle Paul described in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the first resurrection. The dead in Christ being resurrected first, before anything else. It is the dead in Christ that resurrect first. And Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, I just read to you here in chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, described the people that are going to be giving that blessing to resurrect in the first resurrection. He said those who have been witnesses for Jesus, they were killed for their witness. They lived for Christ and they died for Christ. Their souls were beheaded, whatever. The people of God were mourning, more sorrowful because we were persecuted. So they will be resurrected first. And then they will live with Christ for 1,000 years on this planet and reign on this planet for 1,000 years in their physical body that is resurrected. That is what Apostle Paul just described. And in verse 6 of that Revelation chapter 20, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power." Let me read that again. It says, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. Now, that is exactly what we are trying to make you to understand, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, and the first resurrection will be for the saints. And now, why has it been delayed? Now, let's read on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Apostle Paul went further to explain to us why some of these things look like he's delayed. It's not delayed. God is taking his time. So that many more, if it has taken place during the time of the first apostles, people who are like us that have not been born then will have missed or even missed the living. Because it is from God created human beings to live on this planet, and He knows all of us that were not even born then, and we were somewhere, our spirit was somewhere, and He wants us to come and live here so that we can be part of the saints until He gets the number of all that He has purposed. In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul went forward and said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." See, it's coming like a thief in the night, suddenly. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others." So Apostle Paul is exhorting us that we must not sleep like other people are sleeping. We must be awake to be expecting this Lord coming. We must be awake to be expecting the Lord coming. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, in a moment. Let's go again and talk about some of the things Apostle Paul also exhorted us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about this rapture. When he wrote this to the Thessalonians, the news was spreading like wildfire. Wow, this thing is going to take place. So all the apostles, all the disciples in that generation, they started being excited, very excited that the Lord is coming. This is how it's going to take place. We are going to disappear. We are going to go meet Him in the air. And the excitement and the jubilation make them to almost begin to prepare as if it's going to happen, or it was going to happen very soon in their time. And Apostle Paul went in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to explain it further, so that they would not be carried away. Because when people are so carried away, they start selling their houses and selling their property and trying to get out of jobs and say, "Well, I don't think I need to go and work anymore. The Lord is coming soon." No, you have to take it easy, because Apostle Paul went forward and said, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," that is what they have told you in the previous letter, "and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, what was Apostle Paul talking about? Apostle Paul was telling us that this thing we told you, the first resurrection and the taking away of the sins, that will not take place until there will be a falling away from God by the men upon the earth. The Antichrist, the government of the world, will rage up against God. And some ruler that has been ruling the world in that time, will just rise up and say, "He is God Himself, and everybody should worship Him." And that is what he is describing here, that there will be complete departure from God and from anything that is called godly in the world before this thing takes place. And as long as there is still some good people and people are still being allowed to serve God in their way and so on, look like the time is not yet. But when the ruler of the world will rise up and compel everybody to worship Him as God and say there is no other God anywhere except Him, then we know that the end is near. That is what Apostle Paul is describing. And he described that this man of sin, which we now call Antichrist, was also prophesied in the book of Revelation chapter 13. Because everything Apostle Paul was describing to us here was also confirmed by a vision that was given to Apostle John in the book of Revelation chapter 13, where he also said this Antichrist will mark the whole world. Let me read that also to you as a confirmation. Like I said, at the mouth of two witnesses, God always confirms His word. So we saw it in the letters of Apostle Paul, and Apostle John also wrote it in the book of Revelation, that at the end there will be this Antichrist that will wage war against the saints and that will persecute the saints of God. And it was actually Satan that is using this Antichrist. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 13, you can read the whole chapter later. But however, I will just point to some few things that will be taking place at the end of times, which is part of the package of these things to bring the world to an end. That's when a ruler will rise up, that will do all those terrible things, and it will also be allowed to persecute those who are Christians before the rapture and after the rapture. Because you see that in the book of Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13, there will be a serious persecution for those who don't believe that that Antichrist is to be worshipped. That's why they call him beast. Let me read from chapter 13, verse 1. It said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of bear. And he went forth in verse 4. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. That's the old people on the earth are worshiping this beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And verse 5 said, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months, people have assumed that's 3.5 years. So it's like the last 3.5, 7 years of the world, which will be a different sermon. I'm just pointing to what this Antichrist will do. And the Bible said in verse 6 that this ruler is a ruler of the world. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Saints means that the believers, the Christians are still on the earth during that time, and he will make war with the saints, meaning there will be persecution. And to overcome them, many people will be killed by this ruler of the world, the police arresting them because these people don't want to worship this ruler. And this power was given on him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, which means this ruler will be ruling the whole world, all kindreds, all tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth, in verse 8, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this is a parallel example of what Apostle Paul was talking about, that the day will not come until there will be falling away for us, where this man of sin will say, he is God, and they should worship him. And Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 and 6 and 7 said, this Antichrist will be given power to rule over all the world and to blaspheme God and blaspheme anything that is called God and blaspheme all the people that are in heaven. And verse 8 says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship this Antichrist, if their name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. So we know that the Christians that are here will not worship him, they will reject it. When we say Christians, they're not just everyone that go to church. That's why we want you to understand that to be a Christian are people that are ready to stand for Christ. That you have declared that Christ is your Lord and Christ is the only Savior. And Christ is your Lord and Savior. During that time, there will be a test. When this ruler of the world say he is God, that the people should worship him, and the rest of unbelievers will accept it, and all those false religion will accept it and say that must be their God. But those who believe the Bible, those who have been born again, those who are Christians, we know that is the Antichrist that was preached, prophesied that will come. And they will refuse to worship, and that's why the police will be arresting them, and there will be persecution. Many will be killed in that time. But within that same time is when Christ shall come and take those who are still alive, who are still waiting, to take them away from the earth in this rapture we are talking about. That's why Apostle Paul said, we that are alive and remain. Because when the persecution is taking place, people are being arrested, people are being killed, some people are running into the jungle, hiding somewhere, and then Christ appear and take those Christians away. So it looks like they're going to be in the middle of all those crises that Christ will come and take his own people away. And I will give another example here in the book of Revelation chapter 12, where it was also described in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, how this will take place, this rapture we talk about, the taking away. And we see it in chapter 12, verse verse 5, where Apostle John also said in another symbology that the woman clothed with the sun in chapter 12 was symbolizing the church. And he has a baby that was to be born, which is symbolizing the people that are going to go away in the rapture, and the great power of God that are going to be major ministers of the gospel that are praying and traveling for God, and God is building them up as the first fruits and the sons of God. Now, in chapter 12, verse 5 of the book of Revelation, the Bible said, this woman, symbolizing the church, brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, that being caught up is a symbol of being raptured, taken out of this planet. That is the child. But the woman herself was still on this earth after the child was taken up. Because in verse 6 of chapter 12, it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, 1,260 days, if you take it as literary days, that also symbolizes like 3.5 years. Okay? Now, then there was war, where the devil in the spirit now was fighting, and the devil was cast out. There was a spiritual war that took place. And then after that, the Bible said that the devil went and waged war against those who are left that are still believing God, which you see in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 12. You see, and when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And that persecution, the woman fled into the wilderness, like the Bible said, to be protected. Now, verse 15 said, the serpent cast out out of his mouth water as a flood. That's like trouble. There will be trouble against the church, against the believers anywhere. And then verse 16 said, the earth swallowed up that trouble. Now, verse 17 said, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is the persecution that we are talking about, that will be worldwide against anyone that is still believing God, that is still claiming the faith, the witness of Christ Jesus. They will be persecuted for a season before the Lord finally do something else again. So we see two examples, stories happening here. A sudden disappearance of the first fruits. I call them first fruits in the book of in the chapter 12, verse 5. It was the first fruits, but the general rapture has not taken place. Then, while the persecution was going on, while that woman was hiding in the wilderness, there was something else to take place, which I have preached and believe that is the general rapture for the saints, where all those that are hiding everywhere will be and is dead in Christ will be resurrected for us to be taken away. So I'm just pointing to the fact that there are several things that are taking place that are prophesied here in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So you can see that this rapture will take place. Whether we like it or not, it will take place. And the Bible has prophesied it. And we see examples of that in the scriptures. An example of how it happened to Elijah the prophet. It happened to Enoch in the book of Genesis chapter 5. Verse 21 and 20 to 24. Also in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 and 6 mentioned that Enoch walked with God and God took him away. So for us to please God, we must also walk with God and God will take us away in the rapture. Praise the Lord. Now, what I've described so far is talking about this thing will take place. How do we prepare? What should we be doing to make ourselves ready? Who and who will go in the rapture? And how are we to prepare for the rapture? I started by discussing the book of Thessalonians, where Apostle Paul described it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13 to verse 18. We read it last time. He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we also talk about what will be taking place before that rapture took place. Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said, don't be too shaken that this thing is coming to happen soon. He said, the day will not come until there is a falling away from God, falling away of the people, of the church. What he meant was that the whole world will be turning away from God. Even some big organization, denominational churches, will be lining up with the government and thinking, well, they don't want to be persecuted. They just want to join hands with all the other false religions, and we can see that shaping right now in the world. where they call it ecumenical council. They don't disagree with the Muslims or with the Buddhists or with the Hindus. They think all of them are worshiping the same God because they don't want to offend anybody. But Apostle Paul said, where is the offense of the gospel if you keep aligning yourself with all those false religions? Christ is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only answer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. As the scripture said, he said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. So all these other religions that do not accept Christ's sacrifice and they think by just going through another route they can get to heaven or go to God, they were deceived. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And so also all the other so-called churches that do not want to emphasize that anymore, and they are trying to line up with every other churches and every other religion and appeasing them, thinking we are all worshiping the same God, they are also being deceived. So Apostle Paul pointed out one out that there will be, that is the falling away. He said there will be a falling away first. And while that was going on, then one ruler of the world will rise up, will be the Antichrist, who will suddenly say he is God because he's uniting all these religions together. And since they are all united together, saying that we are worshiping this God, he will come up and say he is that same God that they are all worshiping, and make them worship him. That is what is really planning to take place, the Antichrist ruler of the world. And you see that in the book of Revelation chapter 13, where we describe that. You can read the whole of book of Revelation chapter 13. It was symbolized by a beast. And another beast that was working for this other beast, it symbolized actually government. A major government that ruled the world at the end of time. Another government that is supporting him from another country and making all these signs and wonders of technological signs and wonders that make every nation to be following them. You can think of what is going on in Europe and in America to be an example of the government that will be part of the Antichrist in that time. Now, Apostle Paul said when those things are taking place, when the world is going in that direction, that is when this rapture will take place. So that don't be soon shaken until you see that. He was writing this to them in their generation of 2,000 years ago. You can see that we are closer to it right now than then, because we can see the signs of the Antichrist shaping, trying to make all religions be together. And not only that, the homosexuals are taking over the whole world right now, and some governments are allowing it. Not only that, some churches are even saying homosexuality is okay. When the Bible said Sodom, the Sodomites were the reason why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality. And now they are now out of their closet. That is part of the signs of the end. God is coming soon, folks. And the end that we are talking about is right at the door, knocking on our doors. You that is a Christian, how should you prepare? And who are Christians that are going to go away in the rapture? Those who are standing for Christ. Those who refuse to bow to the Antichrist world system. Those who refuse to compromise. You must not compromise the word of God. The word of God is truth. We still love those people. We love them. We preach the word of God to them in love. However, we don't compromise the word of God. We do not compromise the word of God. The word of God says, the soul that sinneth shall die. So we have to repent. Everyone must repent and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. He is the only one that can save us from our sins. Homosexuality is sin. And the sinners have to repent so that Christ can deliver them from that demonic spirit that has possessed their mind, making them to think they are created like that. And many of them now are marrying. They are now seeing same-sex marriage in many countries. They are approving same-sex marriage, where a man is marrying a man, a woman is marrying a woman, they think that is the new normal. No, it's not normal. It is abomination in the eyes of God, just like any other sin. But they have to repent, just like a sinner, adulteress have to repent too. Fornicator, you have to repent also. Thief, murderers, you have to repent also, and ask Christ Jesus to come into your life to save your soul, so that you can be renewed, and the demons that are making you do all those evil things can be casted out. He has given us the power to cast out devils. But only if you repent and you don't want that devil anymore, then the devil can be casted out. So we are asking you to repent today so that Christ can save your soul. But those are all the signs of the end, because the world will not repent. Those worldly events will take place. And during the time of those commotion, that's when Christ will come and take his own people away in the rapture. Now, Let's give examples of how this has taken place in the past, because God never does something that He has not given us example before. He gave us example in the book of Genesis, how He has taken one person away in the rapture without seeing death. Because when we say rapture, it means we are going to disappear from this planet Earth without seeing physical death. In the book of Genesis chapter 5, we see the story of one of our ancestors. I say our ancestors because we all came through this man that never died. If you look, just like you know, we all came through Noah. But Noah was the great, 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 great grandson of this man that never died. His name is Enoch. In the book of Genesis chapter 5, the Bible described the stories of the sons of Adam through Seth. Adam has this son Seth, and son has this son Seth, and many other sons. But through that lineage, we go to verse 21, and he said, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God," in verse 22, "after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years." Verse 24 is very important. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, that is the summary of what happened to Enoch. God told all of them in that generation that you can please God. If you can walk with God and please God, God will give you the immortality back. You can live without seeing death. Maybe they all tried, but Enoch was the one that was reported that pleased God. And God took him out of this planet without seeing physical death. In fact, there are stories that he wrote a lot of preaching. He preached a lot. And in the book of Jude, in the New Testament, they refer to that Enoch even wrote books preaching to them to repent. But they didn't repent. But he walked with God. So in short, for us to get to the level where we also can be like that, we must walk with God. We must walk with God. And Enoch walked with God, and it was not, for God took him. Now we also talk about the book of Revelation chapter 12, where we see some of these examples that we that are going to be translated, we must be one of the people that please God, they witness for Christ, they did not deny Christ, they did not bow to the Antichrist. That is walking with God. So in confessing Christ and not bowing down to those images, not worshiping the world system of churches, that is how we're going to please God. So you have to remember, it is by walking with God, that's how we're going to please God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 also, he mentioned how the same thing about Enoch, that Enoch pleased God, and he said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So which means it is by faith that we walk with God, and it is by faith that we please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. I'm pointing to this Bible verse to show us the examples of what the rapture is all about. That God has done it in the past. He took only one person in that time. He took Enoch. But it's a sample for us that to show that God will do what He promised to do. But this time, in the same time, it's going to be for a multitude of believers, not just for one person. A multitude of believers that is preparing for the rapture. Everyone that has been born again, that has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And He's asking you to walk with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Ghost prepare you also. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, he said, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, you call it translation. We call it rapture. It's the same thing. Translation is to be taken out of this place to another place. Verse 6, he said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So if you believe that God, he will reward you if you diligently seek him, then keep walking with him, and you will please him to the point of being translated in the rapture. Now we also see another example of somebody that was given that translation, that didn't die, that was Prophet Elijah in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm pointing to this to make you to see that God has done this in the past, and He will do it again for the saints. And it's a small thing for God to do to prepare our body so that we can disappear without seeing death, like He did for Elijah the prophet. But you have to walk with God just like Elijah the prophet walked with God. Every saint of God must walk with God. So when Christ said the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, John the Baptist has the anointing of Elijah the prophet. So we have to rise up to that level and above. And what did John the Baptist do? He confessed what he was preaching until he was killed for it. That is the minimum of faith that God is looking for. We must confess what we believe until we are ready to die for it. That is the minimum. That's why Christ said the least in his kingdom will be greater than John the Baptist, which had Elijah's anointing. So now you can see Elijah the prophet will be an example for us to see how he walked with God, that God took him in the rapture. In 2 Kings chapter 2, from verse 1, he said, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a wild wind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Now, if you read the whole chapter, you see how Elijah was hearing from God. That's what I want to point out in this story. To walk with somebody, you must be able to communicate with him, conversation. So Elijah was able to converse with God, hear from God, and do what God says. He could hear from God and do what God says without gainsaying. So this is what was described in chapter 2, how he was hearing from God and going as God led him. And he said, "And Elijah said unto Elisha," in verse 2, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." So God spoke to him. Elisha, who was a servant next to him, did not hear God speaking. But Elijah, the prophet, was hearing God speaking to him. So if you are going in the rapture, you must come to the level where you can walk with God to the point that you are hearing instruction from the Father daily. And that is why we are asking you to begin to exercise your faith. And as you walk with God in prayer, in fasting, in all this confession of your faith and witnessing for Christ, you will begin to hear God speak to you and lead you. And in verse 4 again, he said, "Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." Which means he was hearing God day by day, and he was moving as God moves him. God was moving him, because very soon God was going to take him away. They are going to be walking together in the other side, in heaven. And Elijah, in verse 6 again, "Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." So three different stages, whatever is the purpose, we are not talking about that purpose, we are just pointing to the fact that Elijah was being led by God. And what did the Bible say? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So my exhortation to you today that is listening to me over the radio is to seek to be led by God. Begin to listen to the Lord and begin to walk as he guides you and begin to obey him and begin to witness for him and keep yourself away from sin, and there is how you begin to please God. And then in verse 11 of 2 Kings chapter 2 is where Elisha was taken up. Verse 11 says, "And it came to pass, as they still went on, as Elijah and Elisha were walking and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own garments and went in." So in short, Elijah was taken away. Angels were in that chariot of fire. And as the chariot appeared in the visibility, that chariot was already there in the invisible world. And as they were coming at the point when God wanted it, the chariot just appeared physically like a whirlwind. And the angel grabbed up Elijah and took him into the chariot, and he was gone. And Elisha was still surprised by what suddenly appeared, was able to see that chariot going up, up and up with Elijah inside it. So that was why he cried, my father, he was trying to call back on Elijah. Before he doesn't see the chariot anymore, because when he went up, then he disappeared into heaven. Now that was what happened to Elijah the prophet, and similar thing is what is going to happen in the rapture of the saints. People may not see chariots, and they may see, because the chariot showing itself visibly is because God wanted Elijah to see the chariot. It does not have to appear visibly before the people. But God can make it appear visibly so that whoever is around can witness it, that something appeared and took this saint of God up. And it can also suddenly disappear that they don't even see what happened. That it could be as quick that they don't see the saint when it just disappeared. And that is how many people imagine the rapture will be. Some saints will just disappear, they don't see them anymore. They may be standing with somebody and suddenly they just disappear. Or they may see the activity taking place like a whirlwind that take him up, and before they don't see him no more. Or they may see something that look like a chariot, like this one that look like a little ship that the saint suddenly got caught into that ship and it was taken up. And you see that in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and also in the book of Luke. Now, like I said, after the rapture take place, there will be people that will mock and say, well, these people didn't go anywhere. This happened also to the Elijah. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, even the prophets that are called sons of the prophets, we can call them other church members. Let's call them other church members. That is, it's not all the church members that are going to be taken away. There will be other church members. And this is what is represented by the experience that happened to Elisha. After Elijah was caught up to heaven, Elisha was coming back all alone by himself, and the other church members, which they call the sons of the prophets, that were following them at a distance, saying that these two men, somebody is going to disappear. They know that somebody is going to, they thought he was just going to die. They thought Elijah was just going to die. But they didn't know what really happened. They saw some wild wind taking place over there. So they saw the wild wind at a distance, and then they saw Elisha coming back all by himself alone. And they said, what happened? He told them, he's gone. They thought, well, maybe the wind just carry him up and drop him on the tree. Or the wind just carry him up and drop him on a mountain. So they mocked. They never believed that he went up to heaven like that. Because they have never heard about that before. It was the first time in their history. Because the story of Enoch that we described in the previous chapter, my previous sermon, it was not reported how he disappeared. They just said the Enoch was taken by God. But this was the first experience that was reported is that of Elijah. That Elisha said he saw a chariot of fire, that a wild wind, they were at a distance, the other prophets or called sons of prophets, they were at a distance, maybe 100 feet away or 200 feet away. But they were seeing the wind, something blowing over there, and people running at a skelter, and then something happened. What they saw next was Elisha coming back over by himself. And they said, what happened? He said, he's gone. So they saw the wind, they thought, maybe he just got caught into that wind and he will be dropped onto it. He's dead, they know he's dead. So they thought he was dead. But you see, that was mockers. That will take place also when the rapture took place. The world then will think, oh, these people disappear, or many people disappear everywhere. People got kidnapped. So they do not think any much about it. Say, well, a lot of people got kidnapped. Yeah, they will say, yeah, who knows? Maybe it was just here and there. But it could be a very great episode that they couldn't dismiss it. That is how it will take place. Now, that is what we talk about after the rapture will be a persecution. You can go and read that in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 and 17 to 17. And also in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. There will be persecution after the saints have been raptured. The Antichrist will wage war against the saints. But I've given you those two examples to make you to see that how does this thing take place in the days of old, and how is it going to take place now? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in Matthew chapter 24. Let me read Matthew chapter 24 and describe how it's going to take place in our time from verse 42. Let me read from verse 40, Matthew chapter 24, and about how it's going to take place. He said, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. There is two people maybe in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So the Lord just told us that when one is taken, the other left, like the one I just described, someone disappear like Elijah and Elisha were going and talking. One was hearing from the Lord that keep going this way, keep going that way, go this way, go that way. The other one was not hearing from the Lord yet. But when the Lord was about to take Elijah away, The chariot appeared and took him up. He could have just disappeared like that, but God allowed the chariot to appear in the visibility so that Elisha, the servant, can see how it happened, that there was a horses of fire and chariot of fire. It was Elisha that reported the horses and chariot that he saw. And then Elijah, but he could as well just disappear without seeing anything. That is, Elijah could have just disappeared without seeing anything. And that is how the Bible describes it here. Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew chapter 24, that two shall be in the field, one shall be taking the other left. Two women grinding, one shall be taking the other left. Another place says two people shall lie down on the bed, one shall be taking the other left. So, we should be watchful. But you want to be the one to go in the rapture, what should you do? Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ like Enoch of old. Seek him. Pray. The Bible says we have to pray and to watch. In verse 36 of Luke, let me go to verse 42 of Matthew chapter 24, he said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So our responsibility is to watch and to pray. Watching also means that you are watching all those signs of the ends. That is why we have meetings and crusades where we talk of prophetic events so that people of God can be ready. Because my people perish for lack of knowledge, is what God said. But when you are forewarned, then you can be forearmed. So you must be watching the news to see all these events that the Bible says is going to take place. And when you see those events, you have to look up. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 44 also, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So the Lord is telling us to be ready, because the Lord is coming soon. In the book of Luke chapter 21, the Lord sounded the same warning to we that are believers. I said, how are we to prepare for these things? Watch and pray. Keep yourself holy. Walk with the Lord. Listen to him and follow his instruction. That is very important in these last days, because the Lord wants us to be sons of God indeed. As the word of God has said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, the Lord sounded the same warning. He said, verse 34 first, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. As a snare, the Bible says, it will come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Verse 36 says, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, that is very important. Christ said we are to watch and pray always, so that we be accounted worthy to escape all these terrible things that shall come to pass. The terrible things have not been described in this sermon, because you have to go to the book of Revelation to see all the terrible things that shall come to pass upon the earth to destroy the masses. There will be a lot of things. The water turned to blood. And terrible things, the locusts biting human beings. And every other thing that has been predicted in the book of Revelation to destroy the masses. One quarter of the world wiped out at a point. Another one third of the earth wiped out at a point. All animals in the sea destroyed at one point. All the shipyards, this world, those are all things that are coming to happen. Christ said, pray, watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to happen. Not just escaping, because those people who died before those things take place have escaped it. But that is not the escape we are talking about now. Escape to also stand before God. That is to be acceptable by God. That is being obedient to God, being holy, keeping your righteousness, and living for Christ. That is how you are going to stand before the Son of Man. Even if people die before that time take place and they are Christians, they are standing before God as holy and acceptable. Even if they do not go in the rapture that we are talking about, if they are dead before Christ comes, but if they are Christians and stand firm for Christ all their life, they are going to stand before God. That's when Christ said, pray that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things. He said, and to stand before the Son of Man. So the most important thing is for you to stand before the Son of Man as acceptable, righteous, holy person for God. So it's your prayer and your watching that you take, that will make you do that, that will make you to be accepted. So he said we have to pray so that we'll be accountable for it. And I want you to pray along with me right now. I'm going to pray for you as we wrap up this sermon. The Lord is coming soon. Say, how soon will this thing take place? How soon will this thing take place? These are another signs of the end that we may not be able to get to this time. But we know that it's very soon. It is very soon. We can see the signs of the end. All these world governments are changing the laws to suit themselves, like the Bible prophesied, that they will seek to change the times and the laws. That's why they now approve same-sex marriage in almost all countries of the world. It's part of the signs of the end that the iniquity is abounding. Like the Bible said, when the iniquity shall be full, that is when the wrath of God can be poured upon the earth. And but before that wrath is poured, God will have to take his own people away in the rapture, which we are preaching to you. Get ready because the rapture is coming. Get prepared for this because the Lord loves you. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the time for you to believe. This is time for you to believe, to accept Christ. So let me pray along with you right now. Father, I pray for all that are listening to this sermon, that you give them understanding, give them wisdom, help them, Lord Jesus Christ, to know how to prepare, how to walk with the Lord in fear and trembling, and how to live holy and please the Lord. Let the Holy Ghost help them to walk and please God, because the Bible said, as many as received Christ, he gave them power to become sons of God. The Holy Ghost has been given to us to walk with God and please God and become sons of God. So right now, you listener, say this along with me. If you have not given your life to Christ, just say it and say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me yours. I forgive all that have offended me, and I ask for your forgiveness for all my offenses. Right now, from today, I belong to you, Lord Jesus. Give me the grace to confess you, to walk with you, and to please you. And let me not miss that rapture of the saints. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank you, Lord. I believe you have accepted me as your son. I believe you have given me your love. Fill me with the Holy Spirit right now, Lord Jesus Christ, and let me be filled with the Holy Spirit that will quicken me for that rapture. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is it, friend. And I pray that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you have not, you are not a member of any born-again Christian group, look for a gospel church to attend and learn from there as you read your Bible and as you listen to this radio broadcast. And we can also send you some more exhortation if you write to us. God bless you, and Jesus is coming soon. Keep looking up because the time draweth nigh. Amen.
I want you to write to me and I will send you some literature that will be edifying to you. If you have access to the internet, our web address is www.gospeldistribution.org. You have to spell that one out, gospeldistribution.org. Gospel distribution is one word. www.gospeldistribution.org. And you can send us email on the internet. Our email address is webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. And you can also read all our literature on the internet freely. God bless you, and we'll see you again next time. In Jesus' name.